Rainmaker.fm is brought to you by Authority, the content marketing training and networking community dedicated to accelerating your skills and success. Registration for Authority will close to new members on Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Go to getauthority.com to learn more.
Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 26 of The Showrunner. I am one of your hosts, Jared Morris, one of the VPs of Rainmaker FM for Rainmaker Digital, not Copyblogger. Okay, I'm slowly but surely getting that right. And I am joined by my co-host, Johnny Naster, who you know very well, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur and Defender of Humanity. And Johnny, I have to tell you, we have a special guest on the show today. And she may just give you a run for your money as a defender of humanity.
That's cool. I can be the Canadian defender of humanity.
I like that. Okay.
The defender of Canadian humanity.
Yes. So we've got the Canadian defender of humanity and then the United States defender of humanity, our beloved Sonia Simone, the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital, the host of Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer on Rainmaker FM, and the proud mother of a Minecraft prodigy. Sonia, how are you? Welcome to The Showrunner.
I'm great. I am having so much fun. It's so fun to talk with you guys. I like your digs, you know? Looks good.
Thank you.
Very fancy here.
Yeah. Thank you. It's nice to have you on here. I had the pleasure of going on your show before, so it only makes sense that you're now coming here on our show. Because you've been a showrunner yourself. I mean, you're a showrunner now with Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. You've obviously run successful sites before, done a lot. So I think you can certainly speak to the experience of what being a showrunner is, what it means. And I'm glad we'll be able to add your insight to what we're delivering here.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I think it's going to be fun.
It will be fun. It will. So we've got a lot to talk about. So let's hop right to it. Let's get into the main topic. Let's talk about how a podcast fits in to an overall content marketing strategy, shall we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's do it. Okay, so it is not a coincidence, Sonia, the timing of your appearance here on The Showrunner. And here's the importance of the timing. So Authority, which is our content marketing training community, is about to close down registrations to new members. All right, now this is going to occur on September 30th, and Authority won't reopen again until 2015, at which point it's going to be the new and improved Authority with a price increase to reflect the work that you and Pamela and the rest of the team are putting into it to make Authority even more robust, more powerful, more informative. And We really wanted showrunners to know about this. In fact, we already recorded episode 26, and then you and I started talking. We realized that this would be a really useful episode and that the timing was really important to come out now. So that's why we kind of bumped the episode that was going to be today. That'll be next week. Because we want showrunners to know about this, because as we've stressed over and over, a podcast is not the end-all be-all when it comes to marketing your brand or an online business. It's just one piece of what should be an integrated content marketing strategy. And there's no place to learn more about content marketing than Authority, and no better person to learn it from than Sonia. So, Sonia, let's kind of start things off with a bird's eye view question here, which is, what role should a podcast play in a showrunner's overall content strategy?
I think that's an awesome and unanswerable question in equal measure. You know, most commonly, I think what a podcast will do for an overall strategy is a couple of things. First, it just finds, you know, it gets you in front of people. It lets you find people who might not know who you are yet. It gets you, you know, new audience. It gives people something to share, say, hey, this is really awesome. You should listen to this. You know, people do share lots of podcasts, recommend lots of podcasts. The other really fun thing for me about audio content is you can create rapport with people who might then go on to do something additional with you. With audio, I think it's unsurpassed. I think it's better than video. I think it's better than text. I think is probably beats, you know, I don't know, interpretive dance. I mean, whatever, whatever else people are using, you know,
they're definitely using interpretive.
Yes, exactly. You know, I think that podcasting will work better for you than interpretive dance. It's so intimate, you know, and you really feel like you know somebody when they're speaking in your ear and when they're coming with you to the gym and they're coming with you on your commute. We've talked about this before. So I think that podcasting is fantastic for finding your audience, and then it's fantastic for building the rapport, creating that bond so people really know, what do you stand for? What do you offer? What do you have to bring this world? You know, how can you help me with my topic, my interest, whatever it might be? So those podcasts are very, very strong at, but there's other parts of the persuasion, you know, conveyor belt. Sometimes I call it a content conveyor belt. You know, somebody finds you and thinks what you're doing is cool, then there's next steps, you know. There's additional steps along the way. If you're going to deliver a product, if you're going to deliver a service, if you're going to get somebody to become a donor or a participant in your nonprofit community, if you're going to ask for a political behavior, there's next steps. There's additional persuasive steps. And those steps, a podcast is maybe not the best tool. So there's lots of tools you can use with content. Podcast is a really strong one, but it's probably not going to be the sum total of what you have to offer.
Okay, so it's interesting to hear you say that, Sonia, and I've always been interested in your thoughts on podcasting and audio specifically, because you're a written word person. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you love. I think that's your favorite kind of content to create. But yet you really seem to have developed a healthy amount of respect for podcasting and audio. Is that something that you had before you started Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer? Or have you come to that since you started running that show?
I actually did, because before I joined the Copy Blogger, now Rainmaker Digital team, I had my own little business teaching marketing to people. And that was a primarily audio product. So I would record like a 20-minute session, and then people would pay money to be in my membership community and get the lesson for the week. And that's where I really first saw, I mean, everything in terms of my relationship with my audience took a big jump when I started getting audio in front of them regularly. All of a sudden, people who I had thought were really great supporters, wonderful fans, people who had really responded to my writing, we had a completely different kind of relationship because we had this audio-based relationship. So I was a fan before the podcast. And when the question came up, you know, would you think about doing a podcast for the network? I was all over it. It's different. I don't know if it's more work or less work, or it's just a different kind of work. But I really do like doing the audio. I would hate to give either of them up. You know, I love doing audio. I love doing writing. So I think they're both really, for me, they're both dear to me.
Sonia, I'm wondering if we can go further down this content conveyor belt idea.
Yeah.
Because I'm a podcaster at this point. I have a podcast that's doing well for, as you say, finding people and mm-hmm. then creating that rapport that I agree cannot be done better in any other way than in audio. Then you mentioned further down, like the products and the service and taking it that step. I think that you're going to agree that you can't take people that far with just audio. It then has to go back, I think, to the page and sort of move that conveyor. Could you just go through and sort of explain how you see that process working for people?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a, you know, this, what the conveyor belt looks like is going to vary a little bit from person to person, business to business. But, you know, you always have to have every copywriting formula or copywriting framework starts with the letter A. Because if you can't get attention, you can't do anything else. So, you know, that's where you find your new people. That's where you attract the audience. That's where you bring the people in. Once you have them, you need to do a couple of things. You need to establish the rapport. So again, podcasting, very useful for that as well. Then you have to start to get into how can you serve them further? So we'll just talk about business. You know, the rules may be a little bit different for a nonprofit or for a political organization or whatever. But you have products, you have services, you have ways to further the relationship, to create a deeper relationship with this person. And that's going to, you're right. I mean, it's going to have to go to a variety of pages. You're probably going to want to get people onto an email list. And people who aren't professional marketers think, well, really, email? You know, that seems kind of old fashioned, but it is proven for organization after organization, project after project, it is what works. So getting people onto an email list, and then again, continuing to give them good stuff. So you don't just get them on an email list and then bombard them with pitch after pitch, because it's very easy to tune out of email. It's very easy to stop paying attention. So an email list is normally going to be part of that process. Very often you might have some kind of a sequence you deliver. So, sequential messages that help people know what they need to know to take the next step. You know, overcoming the objections if you're going to use copywriting language or sales language, letting people know what it is you have to offer, what it can do for them, what they should do next. It may go to other forms of content. So it could go, that email could take them to video content. It could take them to text if that works for your organization, or it could just keep bringing them back to additional kinds of audio. It might bring them back to a private audio library. You know, I could completely see that. Additional resources, additional materials. And then you have focused persuasion elements, a landing page, some kind of a page on the web, typically is how we do it in the online world, that gets the person to take the next step you want them to take. It could be opting in for the email list, but then beyond that, it can be making a purchase, signing up for a service, taking the next step, however the next step is defined in what you do. And so you cycle between the useful content, the rapport building, the value, adding the value, and then making offers that are relevant to that person, what they're interested in. And I always prefer offer over pitch, because most of us feel we clench up. You know, when we think about pitching something, we just get a little bit uptight and a little bit fake and weird. If you can think of it as just making an offer of something useful and relevant that may involve the exchange of funds, or it may involve, you know, something else, then I find that loosens people up a bit. It definitely loosens me up.
Mm. Yeah, me too. And I love it. That's a
right.
Beautifully succinct answer to. And we get that over and over again with obviously our listeners. How do we convert this into that whole transaction at the end?
Yeah.
And I think which we have always pushed people is that one call to action to an email list. But then, Sonia, you took it like 20 steps further for us, which was great.
Mm-hmm. So, Sonia, when we decided that we were going to do this interview, this episode, I went and posted in the Showrunner Podcasting Course Facebook group asking for one listener question, telling folks that you were going to be on here. And that thread has just exploded with questions.
Just
by mentioning your name. And so I'm going to pull one of those questions in here. We're going to do our normal listener question here in just a minute. But I think Kevin Carlson, who's the showrunner for Teacher Learning Sessions, he asked a question that I think is really relevant as kind of a next step. So he asked, what strategies do you use to plant seeds in your podcast to guide listeners to products or services you plan to release in the future, like in 6 to 12 months? And he asked, how long have you do take in your marketing/podcast content strategy? How far down the road should you be looking and thinking and planning?
I love this question. It's a very smart question. A+, Kevin, good work. You know, on CopyBlogger, we think about this a lot on the CopyBlogger blog. And you can, as long in advance, I mean, I think the 5 to 12 month window is a good one if you know what you're going to be doing. I think the main thing is to start trying to figure out what do they need to know to make the decision to go further with, let's say, this purchase. So what do they have to believe? What do they have to be aware of? You know, so maybe there's a problem that they're not really aware of, or a problem that they're choosing not to think about, which is like my specialty. Talk to my tax preparer if you'd like more information about that. I've been emailing with her today. She's just a font of patience. She's a wonderful person. There's something that your audience is not looking at or not thinking about, you know, so making them aware of problems that they might not be addressing. And then there may be reasons that they might not move forward. So we would call them objections in a traditional sales environment. Reasons that they don't believe in themselves. That's a really common one a lot of people don't think about. They think, well, sure, other people could run a 5K, but I can't because, you know, because I'm this, because I'm that, because all these reasons that I can't do the thing I see other people do. So addressing those kind of objections, limiting beliefs, and then other kinds of objections like I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't have talent. They're kind of universal objections. So thinking about what's going to keep people from moving forward and start speaking to that without necessarily referencing how you're going to solve it, but just open the conversation about the problem set. And you can do that, you know, anytime. And it can get more and more focused as you move towards your launch. But that's, and the other cool thing about that is sometimes it'll spark really interesting conversations with your audience that you can, you know, whether you're on Facebook or blog comments or whatever it is. And a lot of times you can get really interesting insights about what to do next from the listening part of that conversation, not just about you broadcasting, you know, your infinite wisdom, which I'm sure is also very great.
Do you have any tips for how you organize all that? Because I mean, I tend to be really good at, you know, coming up with all of those ideas and like what people need and all of that. But I kind of struggle sometimes to organize it all, plan it out, and then do it in a systematic way over time. Like, do you have any tips for how to brainstorm it all and then put it into some kind of actionable plan that you can then kind of work through across the different content mediums?
Well, I have to snort slightly if you're asking me for how to organize anything, but we'll just lay that to one side. I do have two kind of things that I do. One is that I have to make that kind of thing visible. Mm-hmm. I have to make like the upcoming, in fact, I'm literally looking right now at 4 whiteboards. They're just old school, you know, write on, wipe off whiteboards, calendar whiteboards.
Yeah.
And so I can see what's coming down the pike. I can see where I want to go. And I sometimes I'll have additional pages, you know, for longer term goals, and I'll sort of just stick those to the wall with that sort of sticky tack stuff. But I have to be able to see the whole thing so that I have a good sense of what my commitments are now and what commitments are coming up. And then, you know, you want to tie that to some kind of a reminder system. So you want to tie it to just keep it simple, your Gmail calendar, something like that, where you can see, you know, I've got a launch for a course coming in early November. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in October, I need to be taking action steps toward the launch. And, you know, you can just calendar them right now. You can just go in there. You don't have to know exactly what steps you're going to take, but calendar the time to take the next action. And so between those two, you know, I sort of more or less get things done. It's very helpful when you have a team who can do the things that are not your strong suit.
Let's move to, it's kind of, I guess, similar to where we were with the, as the full strategy between your blog, say, and your podcast. If somebody is to have a podcast, does that mean that you don't have to further produce text-based content onto your blog, like rather than just transcripts and show notes? Do you think that there's still a need to do a complete blog strategy?
I don't know if it's a need. You know, I think it just depends on your strengths and what your audience wants from you. So I know people who are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant at audio content or video content, which I find very impressive. And they just, writing is pulling teeth. Writing is pulling teeth. I think that you could probably make it work without it. I mean, you're going to be, every combination, you know, of person and topic and audience is different. So I think it's beneficial. I think you're going to pull some new people in. I think you're going to be able to, I think you can do things, you know, with text. There are just some people, I am one of them, who read an awful lot more text than they listen to podcasts because it's faster. It's faster for them, slower for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know about need. I mean, I think that I'm such a big believer in play your game by your rules. And so if your rules are, I'm not going to do any writing, then figure out how to make it work, you know?
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same. I mean, I've become a podcaster, and so I want to encourage people to consume my content via audio because I think and I feel that I do it better. But if I'm given the option between text and audio, it's instantly I'm going to read it on the page because it's faster for me. What about the idea of repurposing your blog content, existing content, either your most popular or all of it, just into actual audio format without really any changes?
I think it would be hard to do without any changes. I think, you know, anytime you read a piece of writing that you've created, you immediately see places you would edit it. You immediately see things you would change. You immediately hear things that you don't like the sound of in your voice, although you liked how they looked on the page. So I am all for this. I would just say don't be too rigid with yourself. You don't have to create, you know, the inverse of a transcript where somehow you're trying to create this exact, you know, an audiobook where you somehow have some sacred duty to repeat the exact words that are on the page. I would be let yourself be flexible. When I do this, and I do it, and I have done a lot of it, I give myself that leeway to even, I'll go a little off the reservation. I'll go a little bit, I might tell a short story, a short anecdote that illustrates what the written piece is talking about. I might, you know, expand it a little bit since audio goes very quickly versus, you know, words on a page. So it's a great strategy. I don't think you need to feel like you need to put hours and hours into strategically figuring out how you're going to repurpose it. Just go ahead and repurpose it. But you can stay loose with it, I think. I don't think you have to create an exact faithful version. And you'll hear, your ear will tell you where certain pieces of that content, you know, aren't awesome. Or just aren't well suited to audio.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I like the way you say that if you need to loosen or change a word here and there as you're reading it, by all means, like you don't have to hold it strict for anybody's reason. But I know that some people feel that they need to completely elaborate and change it. Otherwise, they feel like it's cheating in some way.
Yeah, it's not cheating. You have my permission. Here's your pink permission slip. You can do this. It's not cheating.
Yeah, well, because my response to that always is, well, what about audible.com? Audible.com is literally a verbatim audio version of books and writing, and it's like just a massive business. And some people just want to consume audio. That's just the way it is. Sonia just wants to consume text if she can, and I'm kind of that way too. But some people really do just want the audio.
People are just kind of funny about the written word. I mean, you know, how many people do you know? I mean, it's loosening up now. But for the longest time, a lot of people felt like audiobooks were cheating. You know, that wasn't real reading. That wasn't, you know, it didn't count. It didn't count to read Moby Dick as an audiobook. You know, it only counts if you physically drag your eyes along the page. It's so silly. People are so silly about it. Different people enjoy different ways of taking content in and different ways of creating content. And it's all fine. It's all legitimate. If you have something valuable to say, it doesn't get less value because it's audio. So I just think people get a little hung up and there's no reason. And the other thing is, you know, I know people will ask me, well, but I posted the exact same thing on my blog and aren't people going to get upset? And it's like, no one is paying that close attention to what we're doing.
We wish they were.
That would rock, right? If somebody said, hey, this is word for word what you wrote, but it never, ever happens. So don't let it slow you down.
You know, while we're on this topic of the written word, this is always an interesting topic of conversation when it comes to podcasters, because I think sometimes, look, some people are just more comfortable speaking, you know, creating audio content. You even mentioned this, Sonia, and some people are a little bit more comfortable writing. And some people really don't like to write. They don't feel comfortable doing it. It's hard for them. It takes a while. And so podcasting is a more efficient way for them to create content for their audience. And I get that. I feel like that sometimes. But I also know that to any extent that I have succeeded as a podcaster, a big part of it is because of all the time I've put in writing and learning to write, which I think in a lot of ways has helped me to learn how to think and how to formulate thoughts, which really helps explain them as I'm creating the audio content. And I ask this because one of the biggest benefits of authority, frankly, is all of the advice in there about writing, about copywriting, being a better writer. And I'm curious what advice you would have to someone who creates audio content and, you know, they pretty much create solely audio content in a lot of ways because they don't like to write. What would you suggest to those people about still the importance of learning to write anyway as a way that can actually help inform their audio content?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's different, the thing about writing is there's different aspects to writing. So part of it is, you know, polishing the language so that it feels like quote unquote good writing. That's, you know, all writers, professional writers have a certain degree of pride in that and a certain amount of time they spend getting better at that. But there's so much to writing that's not that. And in fact, that kind of ultra polished, you know, you could publish this in the New Yorker kind of writing. It's wonderful. I enjoy it. Most people are not that worried about it. They don't really need that. They need clarity. They need, they need communication that resonates with them emotionally. They need communications that's well structured and well thought out and planned out. You know, they need communication that's genuine and that's communicating real human emotion, but that also is taking them somewhere meaningful. It's not just another catfight on Facebook. You know, it has a purpose and it's thoughtful. And all of that stuff gets pulled together in what we call writing. You know, so I mean, the authority community, I mean, there's a lot of writers in the authority community, but we very intentionally built it as a community of content marketers, not necessarily writers. I mean, we've got lots of writers there, but it's really about, it's about the thinking. It's about how do you present your position authentically, but also pragmatically and strategically. You know, can you hold those two things together? And that balance, I think, is kind of a core theme of the group, and it's definitely a core theme of my writing, you know, in my teaching. You don't have to choose between being an authentic human being and being a business person. You can be an authentic business person. It really is a thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, this is great, Sonia. Let's, if you guys are ready, you want to move on to the listener question? I've already asked one of them, but we've got another really good one waiting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's do it. So the listener question for this episode, for episode 26 of The Showrunner, is sponsored by Authority, as I mentioned earlier. And Authority is the content marketing training and networking community designed to accelerate your skills and success. And so starting on the day this episode is released, Wednesday, September 23rd, registration for Authority is only open to new member enrollment for one more week. So registration closes on September 30th, and Authority won't reopen again until 2016. At which point in time it will be back, better than ever, but it will also come at a higher price tag for members coming in at that time. So, to lock in the lowest price on Authority and to get instant access to everything currently included, which is well over 200 hours of online marketing education plus weekly recurring webinars, and then to get all of the new materials once Authority reopens, go to getauthority.com. You'll get all the details right there. And you can get in, lock in that price before the registration closes for new members. And Sonia, real quick before we move on, can you offer any insight at all as to what some of the new stuff will be? Because frankly, I'm kind of excited to know.
Yeah, we're really, Pamela Wilson and I, who's just fantastic, have been working on making the community more of a community. So we're going to be putting a lot more focus on members. And we're going to be drawing content lessons, strategy lessons, business lessons from real members with their businesses. So kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we're going to be sharing people's successes, but we also, and we've already started doing this, we're going to be doing like hot seat style coaching calls where we really get in there, wrestle around with somebody's business issues, which are always complex, you know, and there's always multiple things going on in everybody's business. Help them come up with action plans, help them come up with, and then really get into the community, into the forums, and work back and forth. So it's not a one and done. It's really a process. And that, I think, is going to take the education, which I'm, you know, proud of. This has been my baby for years now, and I really believe in this community. But I think it's going to take it, and it's going to make it much easier for people to use, because they're going to be able to see, all right, I get it. I get how this works for a business that looks like my business, or maybe even, you know, for my business. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a very interesting party.
And a good example of the type of person who's in there in authority, the kind of person that you'll be able to learn from, even learn about, is Sonia Thompson, who's the showrunner for IamTheOne.fm. And didn't she did one of the hot seats, right? Didn't we already do one of those hot seats?
She's doing, in fact, the day that we're recording this, she's doing the other side. She's doing the example of someone who has accomplished a lot in actually quite a short time, and walking through the steps that she took and the way that she used, you know, some of the tools and education we provided, and some other tools as well, to how she put them together to create the success that she's enjoying right now. So she's one of our stars that we're going to be celebrating. Yeah.
Well, and she sent us this question from Buenos Aires, where she is surely dancing the night away somewhere. but here's her question. It's a good one. She asks, when thinking of how your podcast fits into your broader content strategy, what type of metrics should we be paying the most attention to? Subscribers, engagement, something else? Like what? And we get this question all the time, right? You know, and podcasters especially, you know, downloads is kind of the obvious one. But when it's integrated into something much bigger, as it should be, what should you be looking at to know that you're on the right track?
Yeah. And I have a snarky answer, and then I have a real answer. And the snarky answer I get from John Morrow, and it's kind of the real answer, actually, which is, he said, you know, how much money is in my business checking account? You know, it's like, if if my business, if what I'm doing is supporting my business, then my revenue should be growing. If my revenue's not growing, then we have to understand why that's happening. And even more to the point, if my profit's not growing. So that is the metric. You do need to keep an eye on that one. But I would, you know, I would be looking at what's going on with my calls to action. So if my call to action is to sign up for my email list, first of all, I would make sure that I was able to track how many email signups am I getting from the podcast versus other places. Although never underestimate that these things assist each other. So somebody might hear 5 or 10 podcast episodes and then read a blog post, and that's the moment at which they go ahead and move forward. You know, so don't underestimate that. It may be that people are not, the podcast is helping them make that decision, but they're not making it from that point. But I would, you know, your signups for your email list are very, very commonly one of the most important metrics for your, for any piece of content, any content campaign that you create. And then the one related to that is, among the people who sign up, what do they do? Are they picking up your offers? Are they, you know, picking up a low cost offer, a high cost offer? What's that looking like? So are they following your call to action? I mean, earlier this year, we talked a lot about our live event, in Denver, Colorado. It was wonderful. It was amazing, you know, kind of life-changing one-on-one event. And we saw really nice pickup in signups for the live event, from the podcast network. You know, people were hearing us and thinking, I like this person. I want to meet this person. I'm going to go to this event so I can make that connection. So are you seeing is the thing that you want to sell or promote seeing some traction? So I would definitely look at that. And of course, always with a caveat that, sometimes it takes some time. So, you know, if you don't see it right away, it may just be that you need to be giving it more time.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, let's move on and let's do our podcast recommendation, because we have a very, very special podcast to recommend for you this episode. We'll get to that next. Okay, so as you all know, we do our podcast recommendations now a little bit differently than we did before. We actually bring in showrunners themselves to describe for you their show and kind of pitch you on why you should listen to their show. And surprise, surprise, we are going to have Sonia explain to you why you should listen to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. So, Sonia, why should members of the Showrunner audience also be listening to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer?
This podcast has been a lot of fun for me because it gave me a platform to go a little wider than I tend to go with the text content on the Copyblogger blog. So, you know, I tend to be, I'm a pretty pragmatic person. I understand that people have bills to pay and, you know, jobs to get and clients to win over. So I am a pragmatic person, but I am also a very idealistic person. And although that certainly comes through on the blog, Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer is really my ranty little corner to really talk about how I think, you know, people should live their lives and their businesses. And I in my intro, I say the podcast is a pink permission slip. It's your official pink permission slip to live your life and run your business the way that you think you should. Always, of course, you know, with the understanding that we're not lying and we're not harming people. So it's a place for me to try and just share some of the things that I have learned the hard way about running a business, about going solo, about living by your own beliefs when people around you just think you're nuts, you know, and try and give people some courage to move forward on their own terms. And if you see a smarter or just a better way to do something, or just a more genuine way to do something, just do it. Don't be afraid to do that. So it's kind of a little bit of weekly encouragement and kumbaya love.
Yeah. And I do. I love your intro. Your intro just pumps me up like every time I hear
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
And the music too. It's it's a great match.
I do have good. I have good show music. I like my show music a lot.
Yes. And it is, okay, the short URL, is it confessions.fm?
Oh,
what's the .fm URL?
It's pinkhairedmarketer.fm.
Pinkhairedmarketer.fm. Yeah, yeah, probably don't go to confessions.fm, actually. That might be bad. I do not recommend that site.
It's probably going to be interesting. I'm not sure what's there.
Yes, but we can't vouch for that. So that's not the official recommendation. But yes, listen to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, a great show, a wonderful show, hosted by a wonderful person, Sonia. And Sonia, we thank you for joining us on this episode. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, it's been so fun. I always love talking to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
For sure. For sure. And we will remind everybody, go to getauthority.com. Get Authority before it closes. Again, if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, Wednesday the 23rd, you have a week until Authority closes down to new members. It closes down Wednesday, September 30th. So if you're interested in learning more about content marketing, having a community to learn more about this and learn from others, Authority is a great place to go. So go to getauthority.com, check it out. And Johnny, we did it again. We planned on a half hour and we've gone way over.
How far over did we go?
Well, I don't know. We're probably at least 8-9 minutes.
Eight and a half minutes.
That's nothing.
You know, Johnny, I say next episode, if we don't get it under 30 minutes, we're done. We have to turn the showrunner over to new hosts.
Okay.
We can't keep it under 30 minutes. Think we can do it?
We can do it.
All right.
We won't, but we could.
Yeah. Are you saying, will we do it? No.
That's
Are you
right.
saying, yeah, can't done. We do it? Yes.
But we'll try. We'll give it our best effort. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.